So the worldwide cyber attack could spark a lot of trouble today. We're looking at the markets in Asia. It appears to be causing some trouble, but not as much as possible. Donald Trump, our president, has ordered our national security advisor and our homeland security advisor to work on it. We will have a government response later today. This attack is more complicated because of the mutation factor, I understand, but it did come from us. The malicious software is based and published by a group called the Shadow Brokers, which began publishing cyber tools developed by our guys at that shiny building in Fort Meade, the National Security Agency, last summer. So Vladimir Putin came out a few minutes ago and he said this is America's fault. Let's start with Fred Kate, Vice President of Research at Indiana University, and a guy who's done a little work, wet work for our government from time to time, and a returning expert to WS. Fred, so this is our problem. We developed this baby and then let it get out of the barn, huh?
Yeah, I think that's only partially true. In other words, we really have two attacks here. One is the initial phishing attack, which gets people to, you know, click on an attachment, and then that installs this on their computer. Then we have the attack that appears to have originated with the NSA that was stolen and, you know, posted in April. And that's the attack that lets this spread along a network once one machine is infected, infect all the other machines in the network.
We're hearing a lot of hysteria. 200,000 computers, more than 150 countries. Here in the States, FedEx admits they've been hit. The Russian Interior Ministry has been hit. Britain's public health care system. Germany's railway system. Is this something to be more concerned about than the last cyber attack scare?
Well, the thing I think that makes people really feel scared about this one is that it's ransomware. So nobody's stealing anything. Nobody's breaking your system. They're just taking your data, encrypting it, and there you sit. You still have your data. You just can't make any sense out of them unless you pay the $300 in Bitcoin, in which case they claim you're going to get your access to your data back. And there's something about that that I think just feels particularly galling to people.
But Fred Kate, and Fred said in Indiana University is a cybersecurity expert. When you have a crime of this magnitude, how do these, whoever they are, the hackers, how do they expect to collect their ransom?
Well, they get it in a currency known as Bitcoin, which is an internet-based currency. It's completely anonymous. And they, in fact, provide very detailed instructions about how to pay the ransom in Bitcoin, because most of us have never used Bitcoin. It's the preferred currency used by not only hackers who do ransomware, but by others who do online trading in illegal goods. And it's it works pretty well for them. It's very hard to pierce the veil of secrecy around it.
Tell us what you know about this 22-year-old British researcher who apparently cobbled together some sort of fix. Is it possible that he could be, you know, I say this because I've watched too many movies, but it seems like the guy that knows how to fix it may be involved with the guys that created it.
Well, it sounds like he really just stumbled into it. He's been pretty straightforward about it. It was an accident. He discovered that there was this unregistered domain name site, you know, just like you would register your FedEx or you'd register Nissan as your domain name. It was just a jumble of letters and numbers. It actually turns out that was what was the kill switch, the thing that the perpetrators of this can use to shut down their own software. And when this guy made it publicly available, it's been used pretty successfully to slow the spread of this attack.
Japan and Taiwan also just announced a few minutes ago that they too are involved in this. Aftershocks may last. We're warning of malware's complex components. That's from our national security apparatus. We're talking to Fred Kate, Vice President of Research at Indiana University, and he's a cybersecurity expert. Our news director, John Dempsey, wants to jump in, Fred.
Fred, who is most at risk? Is it people who have Windows XP, or is it all Windows users? And what is the best thing that we can do to prevent from getting attacked here?
Yeah, great great questions there. So it is so far only Windows users. It doesn't look like this is attacking any Apple machines. And the older your software, the less likely it's going to stand up to this attack. So if you're using something like Windows XP or even all the way back to Windows 8, which some machines are still running, those haven't been patched in 2 years. They're very vulnerable. And in fact, Microsoft took the unusual step of actually releasing a patch, particularly designed to block this particular attack, even for those really ancient systems. But if you're running, you know, Windows 10, you're running something in you're up to date in your patches, you're running good security software, you're pretty immune to this. We haven't really seen many cases where it successfully attaches to a system that's well protected.
Your colleagues in D.C., they seem to be more worried about this than other ones. Contrary to what you're saying here, Apple users seem to be immune to this. Let me ask you one more time. Why does this make so much news today as opposed to the previous cyber attacks?
Well, it's huge. It's you mentioned 150 countries and counting. It caused a pretty dramatic effect. I mean, I think the way most of us first heard about it was when the National Health Service had hospitals in the UK shut down with it. It's been really visible. So, for example, Deutsche Bahn, the German National Railway, couldn't post train arriving and departing times because that data was encrypted and they were locked out from it. But, the other thing about this that I think is really important is there's nothing new here. In other words, if companies were doing what we've been saying they should do all along, this would not have been a problem, with the exception that it does demonstrate if the NSA or anyone in a national government develops a way of exploiting a vulnerability and then that gets stolen, it's going to be used against us. This is like hand grenades. They can be thrown either way.
I don't worry too much about private businesses' records or people's porn history. I worry about the floodgates getting open, literally, trains crashing into each other, and the electrical grid going down. How do we prepare for that sort of serious attack on infrastructure?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things we need to do, but one is stop running these ancient versions of software. I mean, I think I've said before on this show, my mother had open heart surgery. I was in the emergency recovery room with her, and I looked up and the monitors were running XP. And if you're running Windows XP, that is software that nobody's maintaining any longer, and therefore it is easy to attack. It's easy to shut down. So what we have are a lot of legacy systems, and we need to kind of join the 21st century and use more up-to-date software and then keep it up-to-date. That would help a lot.
Did you unplug your mother from their system and plug her into your iPhone?
I did not, but it's funny you say that, because the way I knew it was XP is because one of the bank of monitors was actually showing an XP error message. this is just the type of thing, like, we kind of are surprised at or we laugh at, but, that's the same software that we're using to control our public utilities, our nuclear power plants, our infrastructure around the world. We've got to take this stuff seriously, and that's what this weekend's been a really actually useful wake-up call for.
Fred, it's always great talking to you. I'll just add in obligatorily, change your username and change your password regularly. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Fred Cate, Vice President, Research, Cybersecurity, Indiana University, joining us here on WLS.